As I always like to say, thank you for taking your time to be here in the house of the Lord this morning. This is a good-looking bunch of people this morning. Yeah, all of you. I'm glad that you're here. Are you glad you're here today? Are you glad that you're alive and able to come to church today and to receive the word of the Lord today? Because I tell you, today I'm glad that you didn't miss church. Not for my sake. But I'm glad that you didn't miss church today, because I think today, you know, I think today you're going to be blessed beyond measure. You know, I had someone tell me last Sunday, you might want to keep that message that was preached last Sunday, because that was a good one. And so, you know, I've got every sermon that I've ever preached, and I'm running out of room to keep them. But they will keep. They will all keep. And I could preach them all again, and it would be something completely different. And today, you may have heard the scriptures before. You may have heard them 100 times, maybe 1,000 times. But every time you hear the Word of God, it's always something different. God will always give you something new. God will always give you something refreshing. And God will always give you something that you can use. So I feel like, through this Word today, I feel like that God has given me something that has refreshed me, that has given me some new insight, that has given me some new direction, maybe some understanding. So, and I want to say this right here real quick before I read you the scriptures. This week I was working, I didn't know what I was going to preach. I always pray about it. Even when we leave from here today, I never know what I'm going to preach next Sunday. But Monday morning, I'm sitting out in my truck at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm reading, I'm studying. I read the Bible in the parking lot before anybody ever unlocks the building. That's what I do. And he's like, 5 o'clock in the morning? I'm asleep. Are you crazy? No, that's some of my best meditation. That's some of my best alone time with God, is when I'm in that truck waiting to start work at 6:30, and I can sit out there in my truck and just commune with God. And during this week, I don't know when it was, maybe Tuesday, I was working on this word right here I'm about to share with you. And I was working on this, and out of the blue, Jamie, out of the blue now, I run across this book that I'm holding. I brought it to church with me today. I run across this book, and it says, "Don't give the enemy a seat at your table." Don't give the enemy a seat at your table. And right below that it says, it's time to win the battle of your mind. Anybody here other than Brother Phil, have you ever been in your mind in a battle? Anybody? You ever been in a battle in your mind? And Satan, he's the author of it. He wants you to be against your own self. He wants you to stand against your own self, not against other people. He wants you to stand against your own self. But listen, lo and behold, today, the Lord just blessed me out of the blue. I've never even read one book by this guy. His name is Louis Gigolo. I've never read anything by this guy. And when I opened up the cover, And I started reading the first chapter, the very first thing I see is 9 important words, and they're right here on the front cover of this book. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table. And that's what I've been doing. I've been letting the enemy sit right at my table. I've been letting him sit right beside me. A man of God now, letting the enemy come right into my house, right into my heart, right into my mind, and sit right beside me and let him talk to me day and night, even while I'm asleep. He wakes me up at night talking to me, telling me, "Say, man, you got to be mad. You got to be this, or you got to be that." And I've been listening. Anybody else? Have you had that problem? And it's real. It's very real. It's consuming. It'll take over your life. It'll take over your heart. It'll take over your mind. And at the same time, you don't know it, but you're pushing God right out. The enemy wants you to push God right out of your life. He wants you to stop reading your Bible. He wants you to stop praying. He wants you to stop communing with God. And He wants you to be the most miserable person there is. He wants you to be the most bitterest person there is. Now, I want to read something to you this morning out of the book of 2 Corinthians. And this is very familiar scripture, but it's worth sharing this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 8. Very familiar scripture, but very important scripture this morning. This message ain't just for me. It's for somebody else here this morning. It's for somebody else that's watching on social media today. I'm not the only one that deals with problems and trials and tribulations and hardships and trials. You name it. I'm not the only person. We all dealing with something. We all struggling with something. We all have some misunderstanding and some confusion. We all are dealing with the same things. We're dealing with an enemy that we just can't see. We're dealing with principalities in high places. But we serve a living God, an all-knowing, all-powerful, all-loving God. That's above all of it. Amen? Do you believe that this morning, church family? God's above all that. And if you're covered on the blood of Christ, oh, he's talking about the blood of Christ again. Well, listen, we're going to keep talking about the blood of Christ because we need to be preaching the blood of Christ. We need to be preaching redemption. We need to be preaching salvation. We need to be preaching the yoke of bondage has been broken. The sin, the slavery of sin has been broken. And we don't have to go back to it. We don't have to live in it. We don't have to give in to the enemy. But listen what it says here in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, starting in verse 8. And maybe this ain't for you today. Maybe you say, well, preacher, I'm doing pretty good on my own. I don't need this. This ain't got nothing to do with me. Well, so be it. Thus saith the word of God, so be it. If you're doing fine without God, then so be it. But man, I need God. I don't know about you, but I need God's help every day. Anybody else, you need God's help every day? So that if you don't need God's help, that's you. I can't do nothing about that. But I got to have God's help because I can't survive. I can't make it on my own. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. You'll never be good enough if you're trying to do it without God. You ain't never going to be good enough. You know why most people won't get saved? They say, well, I'm not good enough. Well, no, you ain't good enough, but God is. God says you are. God says through the blood of Christ, you are good enough. That's why a lot of people say, I'll just keep living like I'm doing. But listen to what it says right here in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, starting in verse 8. If I can find it, my eyes get focused here. It says, we are hard-pressed on every side. Have you ever been hard-pressed on every side? Listen, I want to tell you something this morning. Can I make a confession to you this morning? Your preacher is hard-pressed on every side right now. I am hard-pressed on every side. My family is hard-pressed on every side. And that's the truth. Satan is working at his hardest to press me and my family to the breaking point. And we are there. We are there. We are hard-pressed on every side. And the enemy's sitting back laughing about it, man. He's having a good time with it. Goes on to say this. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. I'm not crushed this morning. Look at me. I'm still standing this morning. You see me walking around, moving my arms and my legs and my mouth. Chris, I ain't crushed this morning, man. I ain't been destroyed. I'm pressed, hard pressed on every side. The enemy is hard pressing me, Terry, on every side, but he ain't crushed me. He ain't going to crush me because guess why? Guess what I can tell you this morning? If the devil's pressing you hard on every side, he can press all he wants. He can press you all the way down, but he can't keep you down. He can't destroy you. He can't crush you this morning. He can't silence you this morning. Even if it takes it all the way down to the grave, you're still going to rise up because you have been redeemed by the blood of God, by the blood of the Son of the Lamb this morning. You have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. And even though the enemy wants to hard press you on every side and make your life as miserable as he can be, the Bible says if you ain't going through nothing, then there might be a little something wrong. But yet if you are going through trials and tribulations, the Bible says you need to be rejoicing about it because something's going on, because you're making the devil mad. That's exactly what you're doing this morning. You're making old Satan mad because he knows what you got. He knows who you serve, and he knows he's going to try everything to get you to turn away from it. God, wow. Is that not a good word to you this morning? Yeah, I'm pressed hard on every side, but I am not crushed. I am not abandoned. Listen, the Lord want to tell you this morning, you ain't been abandoned. The devil says, oh, where's your God at? Where's your God at now? He ain't helping you. Where's your God at? Why ain't he helping you? Why ain't he blessing you this morning? Why ain't he stepping in and helping you out a little bit, Brother Phil? If God's so good, why ain't he stepping in and helping you out a little bit? See, that's the trickery of letting the devil sit at your table. It eat off your own table. I got a table set. Listen, I got a table set for God. I got a table set for Jesus Christ, but I never invited old Satan to come in. I never had a place set for him. He just weaseled his way on in. You ever had those people show up at your house? Maybe you're having a cookout or a party. Some people are laughing. They're like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. You got these uninvited guests. They show up out of the blue. You say, well, who invited these people? And they just show up. That's the way Satan does. He just shows up. He shows up because he knows he ain't invited. He come to crash your party. He come to stop what you got going on. He wants you to stop communing with God. He knows you're having a good time with the Lord. He wants to stop all that. It goes on to say this. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted. Man, I'm gonna tell you, every word I read right here, I have to stop. Persecuted. Man, my family right now is being persecuted. Because of who we are. We are being persecuted because we love Jesus. We being persecuted because I'm a preacher. And the devil's trying to tear all that down. He's trying to denounce all that and make me look like a clown. Goes on to say this, but not forsaken. Don't you like those words this morning, church family? God ain't forsaken you. He said, I'll always be with you even until the end of the age. Listen, God this morning, if you in Christ this morning, if you belong to the family of God this morning, that means something to God and it should mean something to you. Because that means that when the day you take your last breath, the day you take your very last breath, God's going to be there with you all the way to the end. He's going to be there. He's going to be right there. He's with you this morning. See, that's why God had to bring this back to my remembrance. Say, Phil, you got to remember whose you are. You got to remember who you belong to. You got to rebuke the devil. You got to rebuke the devil. So we're going to rebuke the devil. Are you going to let Satan continue to cause you all kinds of problems and try? Listen, a lot of people think, let me touch on this real quick this morning. A lot of people think when they become a child of God, when they become Christians, oh, we ain't never going to have no trouble. Because God's going to love us. He's going to protect us. God has never promised any one of us that's Christians here in the house of God or watching on social media. And I'll debate with you if you want to, right here in the Word of God. It says, though Jesus even himself said, in this walk of life, you'll have trials and tribulations. But he said, be of good cheer when they come, for I've overcome the world. So that tells me something this morning, that God has never promised us that we wouldn't go through hardship, that we wouldn't go through trials, that we wouldn't suffer. Because if Jesus Christ suffered all the things He suffered, we got to know we're going to suffer things too. Amen? Can you agree to that this morning, church family? We're going to suffer too. We're going to go through things. We're going to go through hardships. We're going to go through trials. And they're going to come up, and they're going to come, and they're going to go. But you know what? It's like this. I always say that I'm like a ship that likes to sail on smooth waters. Anybody else? I don't like the rough seas. I mean, you might, but I don't. I don't even like the water, to be honest with you, because I don't know how to swim. But listen, if I was on the water, in a boat, I'm one of those Christians that likes smooth water. But when the storms come, those are the things I can't handle. Anybody else? I like it when it's calm. I like it when everything's just so in tune and everything's going great. But when trials come, when sufferings come, when hardships come, that's when I'm tested the most. Anybody else? That's when my faith is tested the most. Man, I get so bent out of shape, Jamie. Pam though, she lives with me. I get so bent out of shape. I get ranting and I get to raving. I say, oh, we need to do this and we need to do that. But what we really need to be doing, listen, you don't want to know if you feel the same way I do. What we really need to be doing is relying on the power of God. How great is that this morning? We need to be relying on the power of God. Now listen, I was going to save this till the end. But let me share this little thing about old Paul here, if I can find it in my notes here. I got stuff here wrote down that you wouldn't believe that I want to share with you this morning. Right here. Over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 25. And you don't have to turn there, but if you want to read it, you can. But let me tell you what happened to Paul. Let me tell you what happened to Paul. In the Bible, it tells us that Paul three times was beaten with rods. Once stoned, he suffered a shipwreck twice. He spent a day and a night adrift on the sea. Now, if there's anybody that knows about hardships, if there's anybody that knows about sufferings and trials, it's Paul. Because, and listen, I told you that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. That's what it says Paul endured. He endured all those things. But yet, Paul didn't get out of those hardships. Paul didn't make it out of those trials. Paul didn't make it out of those sufferings on his own. Listen, he turned to the living God. He relied on the living God's power so that it saved him. It redeemed him. It saved his very life many, many times. And listen, if your life is in danger today, which I know, man, I felt all kinds of emotions this week, in these last 2 weeks, in this last month. I've had to make phone calls to people. Your pastor, I told you someday you might be getting a phone call from me. And it's, oh man, that's the pastor. I don't know if we want to answer that phone call or not. But listen, sometimes even a pastor needs direction. Sometimes a pastor, a minister, a man of God needs a word from somebody else. I've had people in this church right here that's had the word for me that I needed to hear. Can you imagine? You say, Pastor, aren't you the one supposed to be counseling me? No, we're supposed to be counseling one another. If you love God and you love me as a brother, then we need to be counseling one another and helping one another. Amen? And that's what it's all about. And man, it's real. The battle is real. So guess what? Guess what? It's time to win the battle of your mind. Denounce Satan. Rebuke him in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, even the demons were terrified of Jesus Christ. When they even saw him from the distance, they knew who he was. They knew exactly who he was. And they were so scared of him. They didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. They didn't want to get close to Jesus. Because you know why? Because they knew, the demons of hell knew that Jesus had the power and the authority to send them into the abyss. So if that kind of power is real toward the demons, just think about the power of Jesus Christ can do in your own life. That power is real today. When you speak the name of Jesus Christ, but see, we get sidetracked. We forget about all that. We forget about the power that we possess in the name of Jesus Christ. We forget about all that when things come up that we can't deal with. That's why we're not supposed to be dealing with them. We're supposed to be letting God deal with them. We're supposed to be handing them over to the Lord and letting Him deal with them. It's not by my strength, but it's by God's strength. It's not by my might, but it's by God's might. It's not by my will, but it's by God's will. It's God's way. It's not by my way. I already know these things. I can't fix a thing. I can't fix your problems and you can't fix mine. But God can. But God can. Amen. Can you say amen to that this morning, church family? God can. God can fix anything that's broken. God can fix anything that's out of line. God can bring it back in line. And that's the hard thing. That's the hard thing for me. That's hard for me. I want to stay on the path with God. I want to walk in the path of God. But sometimes I stray away. I stray off the path sometimes. Thinking, God's, I'm impatient. I don't want to wait. I want things fixed, and I want them fixed now. I want a resolution. I want justice. So these are the things that's in my spirit. I want revenge. You say, Pastor, you want revenge? That's what my spirit feels sometimes. I want revenge for the wrong that's been done. And don't sit here and say you don't feel the same way sometimes. I said, Pastor, you're supposed to be a man of God. And you're feeling that way? Yeah, because I've been letting this enemy sit at my table. You see what I'm saying? I've been letting the enemy sit at my table. Listen, you think the enemy wouldn't come in this church if you opened the door? You know why so many churches are torn apart? Because the enemy comes right in. And we let him have a foothold. We let the enemy have a foothold in our church, in our homes, in our lives, in our businesses, our finances, you name it. The Bible tells us also, don't give the enemy a foothold. And that's in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. Don't let the devil have a foothold. When you open up your mind, when you open up your heart to the devil, he will take a foothold inside your life, inside your heart, inside your mind. So don't open the door to him. Don't open your mind to him. Don't open your heart to him. Because when you do, all these things are going to flood you. All these things are going to come in. Hatred, bitterness, anger, you name it, depression, you name it. All those things are going to come in. And they're going to consume you. They're going to take over your life. They're going to take over your mind, the way you talk, the way you act, the way you walk. But one thing's going to be missing. And that's God. God's going to be missing. Because you ain't going to be talking about God no more. You ain't going to be talking about the power of God's love no more. You ain't going to be talking about forgiveness. You ain't going to be talking about mercy. You ain't going to be talking about compassion. And you definitely ain't going to show it. And you definitely ain't going to give it. I'm guilty. I'm guilty this morning. I have to ask God to forgive me. I've been withholding mercy. I've been withholding compassion. I've been withholding forgiveness. And now I'm to the point where I don't know how to give it. Isn't that funny? Is that amazing to you this morning, church family? And now I'm to the point where I don't know how to give it. How do you give forgiveness to someone that's hurt you? How do you show compassion or mercy? Say, preacher, what you been on this morning? I ain't on anything. I'm just telling the truth. But it's coming back to me. It's coming back to me. It's a hard thing to swallow. It's a hard thing to swallow. You know that thing called pride? You know that thing called pride? It's a hard thing to swallow. I gotta get rid of this pride. I gotta replace it with God's love. Even to the people I don't like at the moment. And that's why I'm praying. Listen, I'm just a mere man. You see me here up here? I don't got no superpowers. I can't fly across the room. I don't have X-ray vision, thank God. I can't read your mind this morning. I don't have any of those powers. I don't have any of those powers. I'm just a mere mortal man, just like you, man and woman. That's all I am. But I know God lives in me. You know God lives in you this morning? Do you know God lives in you this morning? And you know the bitter pill? You know what the bitter pill is this morning? You got to love everybody. Is it not so ironic? You got to love everybody. You got to love the people you don't want to love. You got to show compassion to even the people you don't want to show compassion to. You got to forgive those that have hurt you, even though you don't want to. But the Bible says unless you forgive, you won't be forgiven of your own sins. And I'm a sinner this morning. Are there any sinners in the house of God this morning? Anybody? There's a few in here this morning. So that means the rest of you are doing all right. So I'm a sinner, saved by the grace of God. And God has to keep reminding me. He's going to help me. He's going to help you. These are the final words. I'm going to off cue now. Let's go with it. The final words this morning. God's going to help you and me win the battle of our minds. Amen? Do you believe that this morning, church family? God's going to help you win the battle that's going on in your mind right now. He's going to help you win the battle that's going on in your heart right now. And He's going to change it all. The battle's going to change. And you're going to come out. I'm going to come out. Listen, I'm not even going to say that because we already victorious. I was going to say we're going to come out victorious. But listen, we already victorious. We ain't got to wait on God to be victorious. Because we already victorious. Jesus said, "You in this walk of life, you'll face trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer, for I have already overcome the world and gained the victory over death, hell, and the grave." So the fact is true today. Those that have been raised up with Jesus Christ, we've already overcomers this morning. We are more than overcomers. We are more than conquerors. We are victorious in the name of Jesus Christ this morning. And that's the truth this morning. I can't tell you nothing else today that will help you any more than that right there. Because it's helped me in the last week. This week alone, this has been one of my good weeks. A semi-good week. It's been a blessed week. But yeah, you're going to keep dealing with trials. You're going to keep dealing with tribulations. You're going to keep dealing with sufferings. But at least you know today that the Lord's Word tells us, I will never leave you nor forsake you, even until the end of the age. So that's a consolation today that we can take with us everywhere we go. And people say, "Boy, preacher, how do you get through every day? I met a guy up in Huntsville where we used to pastor. He would say, "I've never met a preacher that's had so many things going on in his life that was sane." He said, "I don't know how you're even sane right now." He said, "You're the one in a million." He said, "Any other preacher I've ever known would have been in an asylum somewhere." And you know what keeps me sane? It's God. God keeps me sane. Jeff keeps trying to move the camera. It's God. God keeps me sane. God keeps you sane. God keeps me safe. God keeps you safe. God keeps us. The Holy Spirit this morning. You know, I'm thanking God this morning that I've got the Holy Spirit in me. Because if I didn't have the Holy Spirit in me today, Terry, there's no telling where I'd be. I probably wouldn't be here preaching the Word of God. Let me just tell you that. Pam's back here shaking her head like, "Don't say that, Phil." Don't say that. But listen, Your life better be driven by the Holy Spirit. You better be driven by God. You better be driven by the power of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, because that's the only thing that's going to keep you sane. And that's the only thing that's going to keep you from being destroyed. The devil can't destroy you today. He can't steal my victory. He can't steal your victory. He can't take what God's already sacrificed, and that's Christ. He can't do it. He can try all he wants, but he can't do it. Amen? He can't do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, I just want to thank you this morning for using me as just being truthful, Heavenly Father. God, I'm no different than anybody else. I feel things. I think things. I have the same emotions that everybody else has. God, I don't claim to be anything other than what you want me to be. And I try my best, God, to be exactly what you want me to be. But it's hard. It's hard sometimes. It's very hard. I don't want sympathy. I don't want people to feel sorry for me. But this is the path, God, that you have set for each one of us. This is the price of discipleship, if you will, as the Bible speaks of. Those that pick up their cross and follow after Christ daily, this is the path. This is it. But it's not a path that is a path of impossible abilities. It's not a path that's too difficult. It's not a path that we can't walk. Because God, you're on that path with us. And you'll walk with us and you'll help us along the way. God, I'm not at the level where I want to be. But I want to get there. I want to get to the level you want me to be. So God, I pray for all my shortcomings, you forgive me. I pray, God, that if there's anybody here in this house today or anybody watching on social media today, Lord, that's been hurt or going through a storm right now, Heavenly Father, maybe in their heart or in their mind or maybe even both, God, I pray for them. I lift them up to you, Lord. And help us to see what we need to see. God, help us to do what we need to do. And Lord, help us to refrain from sinning. Let not our emotions and our thoughts consume us, not unless they're of you. But Lord, fill our hearts with love and compassion and mercy and grace and understanding, Heavenly Father. Those are the things that I need the most. And God, I pray now that this message will go forth and do a mighty work in the lives of those that hear it and receive it, God. And we humbly ask this now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.